ich finde, ich brauche echt ein neues Handy.
Nimm doch meins. Ist doch mega.
Ja, mega alt.
Endlich ein Traumhandy statt Papas altem. Hol dir jetzt zum Beispiel das Samsung Galaxy S26 Ultra zum Toppreis. Mit dem Jugendplus-Bonus für alle bis 27. Details auf 3.at/Jugend. Freiheit hoch 3.
Football on off the ball.
We gave away one sloppy goal and then one, to be fair to our players. The referee points for a goal kick and the players stop. And then he allows the play to go on and they score off the back of it.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Is it acceptable to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad.
I'm scratching my head. Our performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber.
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
There's only really one place to start, isn't it? Irish rugby. We know where that's going already, but let's talk about it first. We're both at the game, Adrian. Jerry, you were watching at home?
Yeah.
Great occasion. Now, I did think I had a similar feeling when Ollie Lawrence scored against us in Twickenham. When Roy Darragh scored, I was thinking, oof, I made it 26-21, proper test match. But then they kicked on very well. I thought Crowley was excellent, kept the scoreboard ticking over. His kicking was brilliant. And yeah, Scotland did kind of just fall apart in that second half. It was mentioned a good bit in the post-match pressers that they just didn't win any collisions in the second half. Particularly in the final quarter, and yeah, they kind of just tailed away. But so many different performances you could point out there. It was a Caelan Doris got player of the match in the end, but he nearly said it himself that Tadhg Byrne should have had that medal around his neck, because he was excellent. He's received a lot of plaudits after that game.
I know McCluskey is everybody's player of the tournament, but I actually think Doris, who was coming back off a fairly horrific injury, has played himself back into his best ever form. Like, he's as good now as he's ever been.
The last three games, yeah. He's been excellent.
You do see lots of people like, oh, he's not even the best number 8 in the team. It's like, all right, okay, steady on, pal. And it was incredible to see. McCluskey has been outrageous.
And it's, how many man of the match did he actually get? One?
Who?
McCluskey.
Gibson
Park got one, obviously, for the 11 out of 10 performance.
Yeah, that was good.
I'm trying to... Balogun got one against Italy.
Was Quinny to blame for all this?
I don't think he got any.
No, I think, I don't know.
Who got it versus Wales? I don't think it was McCluskey. So McCluskey, I don't think he scored a try at any point. He got 6 assists. Yeah. He was involved in almost all of our tries. But
amount of players, like, you actually couldn't list. Is it 35 players we used over the entirety of it? And then you have another 4 or 5 who didn't feature, who you might consider to have been at least first team starters.
Yeah.
So there's like the guts of 40 players there. But like the vast, if you were to go through that list almost entirely to a man, the stock is up, including the head coach. Like, it's been a revelation, really, of a month and a half.
And so do we just forget what happened against France?
I don't think we forget it. No.
But they progressed and they definitely got better. I think a big criticism I personally had from the France game is we had no plan B whatsoever. We just kicked to the skies, and once that didn't work, we had nothing to fall back on. Whereas we've expanded our attack. Like, it's clearly gotten better. The variety has improved.
So Andrew Goodman is the man.
Huh?
Andrew Goodman is now the man.
Well, yeah, like, you just put 40 points on both Scotland and England. You can't just say, nah, he's not good enough now. That attack isn't firing, because it is. So you can't, you're going to just get rid of him.
But who's saying that?
Well, like, you were saying, is he the man? Like, he absolutely is.
Well, I'm asking you.
For sure. No, he is.
It's very defensive, isn't it?
I'm just saying, like, you don't...
But everyone was giving out about him 6 weeks ago, so everybody was talking bullshit 6 weeks ago.
No, because the attack versus France was very one-dimensional.
And so what happened?
They got better. Like, they added more to their game. There is...
Is it maybe that all this stuff takes time and...
Yeah, well, I thought that... Even just the high ball as well, we were a lot more accurate. And maybe
is
that
it that
comes
Crowley
in.
Actually calmed everybody down by being a good solid 7 out of 10, whereas what they had beforehand was somebody who the team didn't really think merited their place, and that was a bit of a, ooh, what's going on here? Why is that guy in?
I think, well, obviously Crowley's played his part in it, but I think everything I've heard from players in press conferences and interviews about Prendergast is that he's, wise beyond his years and is a big presence in the squad and very assured of himself. And I don't think anyone was questioning whether he should be starting or not. Me personally, I don't think that's the case, but I think Crowley's been excellent, and he's been that kind of calm 10, making the good decisions, not doing too much that Ireland really needed. Particularly in the England and Scotland games, I thought he was brilliant. He did exactly what he needed to do, was accurate. His kicking was a lot better against Scotland, I thought. Especially that conversion at the end was a real statement from him himself to round out his tournament. I don't know. I think there's a lot of things that probably go into it, but I don't think anyone could say our attack wasn't brilliant in the last three games. I know Wales was a real scrappy game, but I think overall he's been impressive himself, Andrew Goodman.
I think within the Six Nations, we can feel very positive about things. I think there's already the France game has been kind of a seminal moment in that stuff has changed so much subsequently that maybe if we hadn't suffered that first up, it wouldn't have done. Maybe it would have been status quo. Maybe he would have just continued to do Neddy O'Sullivan on it and grind it out, trust the players, the system is going to work, we have to stick with it. Maybe that's what would have happened, and maybe the France thing has turned all that in its head. I think the question mark for me is, and the reason that I say that within the Six Nations, I think we've loads of reasons feel that our cup floweth over. I do think that South Africa particularly, probably add New Zealand into it.
Yeah.
That they're sitting back looking at all this going, oh my God, France have just conceded almost 100 points across two games.
Yeah, 96 points, isn't it? So
the tries are, Ronald Agarra has it in his piece, the Examiner today. 29 tries were scored in the final day alone, 111 across the tournament. Like, fantastic.
No, you keep on.
Sorry, what's going on here? Fantastic. Stuff if you're obviously into watching attacking rugby, yeah. And but there's a bit of a super rugby about it. Is there any chance?
A bit of Premiership rugby,
like,
about it.
Sean Edwards, did you see him after the game? Or was it after? It was after the game where he comes out and he's asked about the whole thing, and he's like, I mean, I'm sure inside he's starting to mold because he's like, what is that? Yeah. This goes against all of his instincts.
Did you see the end of his interview as well? He says, by the way, that's 7 for me. And I was like, don't know about that. You've just conceded 46 points.
Yeah.
Fair enough, you won. But I think, look, South Africa, they're the best team in the world by some way. I wouldn't be too worried about it.
It feels to me like that gap might have got bigger over the last 2 months.
Do you reckon, maybe? Yeah.
Now, listen,
I think France look more human.
Yeah, I think that the Six Nations have come back a bit, really, in terms of the overall picture.
Well, don't forget, South Africa beat France by 20-odd points just a few months ago, so I suppose that was kind of already established. But do you think it's gotten wider since then again?
I just think if you're talking about France, who we'd probably consider to be next to South Africa, right? If there was a World Cup tomorrow, they'd probably be the second favourites. I think having shipped so many points over two games is a massive concern. Yeah. Now, listen, they have no more than ourselves blooded an awful lot of extremely exciting young prospects. So, Galtier and Cole will probably walk away going, well, listen, there is an asterisk here, lads. Give me a break.
I think it's a sliding doors for Galtier. I think if they don't win that game, to lose the Six Nations, I think he might be gone.
He's doing a Borthwick.
I think they've underperformed over the last, how many years has he been head coach? Eight years.
It feels like they've been gifted with, like, the one thing I'd say about the French is that it's essentially the year before the Olympics since we last saw Antoine Dupont be a full-time 15s player because of the Olympics and then the injury that he suffered. So he's not at his best yet. Like, they will still get better, even
still
though he was
pretty good.
Like, a couple of moments of absolute genius the other night. But
BLBRE is the best player in the world, I think, at the minute.
There is definitely room for them to kick on, and there's some talk that they'll send a B team to Southern Hemisphere again this summer.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that worked for them because you have guys coming through there, like Joshua Brennan comes off the bench at Adesogbe's. A real international player.
Was he under 20 last year? If it wasn't last year, it was the year before.
Yeah, they brought him in just after the World Cup, I think.
Guyard, what age is he?
Oh, he's second maybe row. 24, 25.
Class.
BLBRE, sure, he only came in during the World Cup. These lads are all brand new. BLBRE, he broke his own record for tries scored in a single campaign at the weekend. So he holds spot one and two on that record sheet, but he is just something else.
Lightning.
Makes it look so easy.
Mm.
Scored four tries.
Yeah, that was insane. That was insane.
That kind of got lost in all of it because it was such a mad game. And there were so many tries
scored. And even there was a bit of a trip before the fourth. Who was it? The defender, English defender puts ridiculous. His leg out. Like most players sort of possibly ham that up and just take, there's probably a penalty try coming your way, but he's determined to stay on his feet.
It was very like, do you remember his try when Prendergast kind of trips him up against us and Stockdale and misses his tackle? It was very like that. Mm-hmm. That's a very underrated ability to manage to keep your feet there. He kind of uses also, his knees.
He's also lippy. He was screaming at Ramos at one point.
Yeah.
Not afraid to use his Ramos voice. Kicks it out on the full. And then the next kick goes perfectly well and they're laughing about it afterwards. But
he's like, give me the ball.
He turned around to him and was like, oh,
just pass it to me, yeah.
But I think when the report card for us from the 2026 Six Nations, like from the conversations we were having about, you know, the game plan was same as it's been for the last number of years. There's no sign of it evolving. We've no depth in positions. We don't know who our 10 is. Like, it's tick, tick, tick at this stage. It is only good news. I definitely wouldn't be saying, let's forget about all the things that we were worried about before.
That's my one concern, is that like our form is good. We're going to have a good year between now and... now, there's very promising. They're talking about blocking out the next 18 months. And I see people are like trying to advocate that we go all in to win this new competition. Nations Cup.
Summer Nations
League,
Nations Championship. I think it's like Nations Championship. Versions,
and next year we'll win the Grand Slam heading into the World Cup. Like, no, we should be full on experimentation in next year's Six Nations.
Yeah,
we don't want to be like riding in as, oh, we're the best team in the world. We're world number one.
I kind of feel at that point you want to be a bit more sure of foot.
Sure of foot, but we're like just not telling you what you're.
Yeah, I'd like to see them identify a few positions on the pitch and say, right, we're going to try someone here. Like maybe open side is one, loose head probably
nine.
Give it maybe Doak a few more chances. Year
off. Give it send him off to Japan, lie in the beach, surfing.
Give it Doak rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's just that we've done this before. We've gone into the World Cup going, we know everything about this team. And we know where our weaknesses are, and the whole world knows where our weaknesses are. Balakoon is like a bit of a game changer in terms of suddenly we have pace
Tommy Bryan
in a way
as well
that we didn't.
Do you think ultimately it's a good thing that we didn't win the Six Nations for the grand scheme of things, that it focuses off us slightly?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it would have been a fake situation, wouldn't it? France are better than us. France did
France have beaten by Scotland and we beat Scotland, so it's kind of like, you know,
I think end of Six Nations is different from Ireland start of Six Nations, and I'd love them to go.
This is a fair point. There's been an evolution.
They should do the final top two final situation, new round of the Six Nations, and a relegation playoff. A relegation playoff, Dara.
Don't need that.
And get Georgia in there, or whoever it is that's coming.
Portugal won the Rugby Europe Championship there yesterday.
Who beat 120-0 in the summer? That Portugal.
They didn't trot their first team there, in fairness.
No.
Hugh Farrelly was hypothesising yesterday on the pay-per-view that possibly David Humphreys might have an area of responsibility around all this, that he, on your point about how seriously we've taken the Six Nations up to this, that possibly he, and I think it's not based off any inside knowledge or anything like that, but just that he might have said, or, you know, had a word with the Blazers to say, we got to experiment, which we've never done with the Six Nations. It's always been too important to win games. I think I could get on board with that theory.
They've built a bit of depth there now as well. Like Darren Murray coming in, like suddenly he's an option.
Do you think that we would have built depth if it wasn't for the injury profile?
Probably not. At the same time, that is rugby. That happens. Injuries happen.
But so. I think that coupled with the France game, I think that was a bit of a come to Jesus moment. I do. I think that you could sit down afterwards with David Humphreys or wherever else and go, you need to take the heat off me here somewhere or another. You know, Hugh Farrelly was saying that maybe that was based off Humphreys having a better understanding of the Irish history in rugby rather than his predecessor.
He's a Sephora.
Yeah.
No.
He was at the game, obviously, pitch side.
For Scotland.
It's weird. Yeah, it was weird seeing him in the Scotland top.
All right, so Ireland in the green. Do we want to play Andy Farrell here?
Yeah, sure. We have some post-match with Andy. Hear from Farrell Andy.
I thought he was outstanding today. I mean... I mean, the obvious word is he committed to his performance in every aspect. It wasn't just the goal kicking or the ball in the air, but you can see that he committed to every aspect of his game and led the team really well. Yeah.
Can you try and explain how players that have come in with comparative little experience and not such a high level, how they have done amazing things? Does that seem to be a common theme in this team, in this championship?
Well, I mean, yeah, you could put... You could put Jamie Osborne in that as well. I mean, he come back into the squad, and it was amazing because we got all the first all the lads are under 10 caps to stand up, and Jamie stood up at the start of the tournament, and you think he's an experienced bloke, but he's not at this level. But you would think so. I mean, he played no rugby. He had a shoulder injury all season, and he played no rugby at all, and he's playing in a position that he's played for us before but only once or twice, and he's played every game there and shone like a light, you know. So and then you look at say Tommy O'Brien, first Six Nations, Rod Balakoon at 28, he gets the newcomer award, which is, but you can go through the squad like that and pick them out, as I'm sure you all will. The story of this Six Nations has been certainly a powerful one for us, certainly internally anyway.
I do like the Ireland jerseys as well, Ireland and green, literally and metaphorically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's worth mentioning that back three as well before we do move on. Like, so inexperienced. Like, and I know Balakoon is, far mentioned there, he's 28, but he's missed so much time through injury that he's probably still fresh enough, his body-wise, like, because he hasn't played that much rugby. Tommy O'Brien, obviously, is kind of in a similar boat. Plenty of injuries throughout his career, but now he's coming to the fore. You know, we do have Mac Hansen to come back. James Lowe was obviously still there.
Is Osborne our third pick full-back if everybody's fit?
I think he's second now. You think Mac Hansen? Yeah, no, I think he's second. I think he's just more experienced there now.
Is he still an option for us? Where are you putting him out? Like, it feels like a wrong situation to not be making room for this guy after that.
I think he's still an option in the centres.
Yeah,
like, as good as McCluskey has been, he's still 33, or he is 33. Ringrose is 31.
What you're saying is it's not going to be this World Cup we win. It's going to be the one after that.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a good time coming, be it ever so far away.
Yeah, well, there's stuff here from Ronan O'Gara in his article this morning about the age in relation to McCluskey. He's 34 next August, past 35 for the World Cup later next year. That's a different age and trickier on the body. 18 months matter when father time is in the building. Couple that with Aki, Ringrose or Henshaw, it's a lot of mileage. The positive is there's depth and options in those positions.
There isn't a 13 though, is there?
A 13 coming through.
Like, it's a possible way, obviously, they're trying to hot house. But it would have been interesting to see him play the Wales game, maybe, just to...
One of the 12s, you just...
Moved him into 13.
Well, Osborne has played almost exactly the same amount of games in both 12 and 13 for Leinster, so I think he's comfortable enough in both, but there's not an out-and-out Ringrose type where this guy's position is 13, like O'Driscoll, like, he doesn't play anywhere else. Play him at 13 or nothing.
What are we getting for Irish sports? Topped off with my cousin's son Pierce winning his world title in the point up the flats, says Carl Daly on YouTube. The boxing apparently was sensational.
Matthew Brennan was at it. I believe we've a good bit of content coming tomorrow. We've a video to play. We might play it at the end of the performance rankings of Anthony Kakace.
Kakace. He's come doing his ring walk as the depths of the game is like going to the wire in Paris. That those two things are happening side by side. What hell would that be?
Do you want to do Six Nations overall the weekend?
It's the greenest of greens, right?
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
France in the amber.
A classic tournament. Just make your case with it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, you're like throwing that out
it's thrown
out there. You have to explain that.
If you concede 100 points over two games and you're down to the last kick of the game of the Six Nations, given that, I think everybody's perception would be that France are better than everybody else.
Significantly better.
So,
I think there's something in this.
Has not been convincing.
Another head coach would be pointing to, if they were to change head coach now, you'd be like, whoa, this is great, but I'm going to start picking my team. All the experimentation is done. They have depth. Why can that team, with those lavish gifts, not beat England and Scotland.
But they look so ordinary at times, defensively. Like, bang average, you know. Like, let's going forward, they do the most wondrous things that are everything that you associate with French rugby. Like, such a delight. But you just watch them the other way, and it's, like, it is actually quite typical in a lot of ways of...
Stereotypical French rugby.
Well, we felt that they had moved past that.
Yeah. Well, Sean Edwards is barking at them in training to not be those...
Maybe it is just a blip of a Six Nations in a load of different ways, and that it is the blooding of a load of new players, and that it's go back to our old friend the World Cup cycle, it's in a place where you can sort of do that and it's a fairly safe zone, and that that just doesn't reappear beyond now. But for now, stick them in Amber.
Yeah, like, I think they rotated a good bit the front row, obviously there were some new faces there, and obviously you have the thing with Winnie Antonio dropping out the way he did and having to retire early just before the tournament started, and they've had injuries, and even just dropping Aldrete and Fiku and Penno obviously probably not upset the squad, but just changed the dynamic a little bit. Those guys were mainstays in that squad for years, and suddenly you're bringing in really young players to replace them. So I think there's a bit of that, and their second row was completely different. Olivon and Guillard, that's a brand new partnership. The centres were changed almost every week, so...
Guillard did look class, though.
He's brilliant, yeah.
Class.
I think, yeah, he's really, really talented. Probably just needs a bit more experience. He was nearly lost the head against England a couple of times.
20, 30 minutes against us in that first game, I was texting a couple of mates by going, this guy, he's already man of the match, and he was. And he was brought off after 55 minutes or something.
Yeah, and he still got man of the match, didn't he? Yeah, so there's plenty of depth there, but I think, yeah, the dynamic of the team probably changed slightly, so maybe that kind of is the reason the cohesion in defence was a bit off at times, but the attack and their ability to put points on the board will get them over the line 9 times out of 10.
Yeah,
it's just that Scotland game, Scotland had their perfect game, and whatever they were working on training finally came together. So,
but equally, the World Cup quarterfinal against South Africa, that was one of those 9 times out of 10 where it's not going to be enough, so we'll see. Okay, let's keep going.
So that's in the green, obviously. Kerry next, which is another obvious green. They were immense.
Jessie Buckley.
Jessie Buckley, of course. Of course.
She won, by the way, for people who are only tuning in. I say this because up to about a half an hour ago, I was like, what happened? Did she? Oh, great. What was her speech like?
Refreshing. Great. It was long enough as well. I know they normally time those speeches like you have a clock, don't you, in front of you. But she went on for
the music kicks in.
Yeah, I wasn't up watching her or anything, but she's so refreshing to listen to. She's so Irish. Do you know what I mean? I think she's lived in England for years since she was a teenager, but she's so Kerry. She did say it's Mother's Day in the UK. For some reason.
Oof.
Maybe that's just because she's
not going to
technically, I suppose, an English mother, because she's been there since her child was born. I don't know. But no, it's great. And I'm forgetting her name now. Madigan. Actress. She won Best Supporting Actress for the movie Weapons. She's also Irish, technically Irish. Right. Irish heritage. So there you go. Two winners. But anyway.
She'd make the green 15, even though play for another country. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's the Irish qualified. Yeah.
There's a bit of that going on. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
She's playing for the Cornish Pirates. Then.
She came through Bedford. Kerry GAA, though, Gaelic football. They're brilliant. Seanie O'Shea in particular. You want to talk about the kick off the ground?
Yeah, the kick off the ground is outrageous. It's but they just annihilated Mayo at a point where I thought that maybe there was a bit more to Mayo. Mayo obviously had rope-doped everybody. Oh, Kobe won't be playing because the under-20s are playing this week and there's probably a deal done there. That was the accepted wisdom, and then straight in. And he plays well, but a chastening... I don't know if were we talking about it on this show, but Mayo were third favourites for the All-Ireland on their own. It was Kerry, Donegal, and Mayo were 7-1, and everybody else about 16-1 after that. And like, that doesn't make any sense. There's no way you'd have Mayo ahead now of Galway, Armagh, and maybe a few others.
Yeah, like maybe you would. I hear you. It's probably the wrong time to be making this point, but like, even Andy Moran was out afterwards. And sorry, in terms of Kerry and the green, Like, yeah. They all turned up Kerry this weekend because anybody who was within an arse's roar of conversation about winning the All-Ireland was beaten other than themselves, and they were so comprehensive in their victory.
Roscommon might have something to say about that.
Well, listen, Tommy is on the record about his fancy for Roscommon, and I think it'd be a good week for him to be on backing that up. But Andy was out afterwards, Andy Moore, and he was talking about... you know, we're never as good as I said we were, and we're never as bad as they say we are now. And there is probably a bit of that. Like, teams can have blips. It is that time of the year. Again, there's a bit of blooding of players. Like, Kerry were hitting unbelievable hot streaks within the game. Tommy was talking to Sean O'Shea about it afterwards. He was saying, like, they were kind of not even really conscious of it as they were unfolding, but they're rattling off 1-7, 1-8 at a time. Like, it's very difficult to leave at that.
Yeah. And Clifford is just doing Clifford stuff, and people are kind of like, oh, you know. And there was loads of other people who were doing. Somebody had 10 points kicked from 5 2-pointers. Was it in the Cork game? Or was it the Meath game? One of the Meath lads had like...
It's Jack O'Connor.
1-8. Yeah, Jack O'Connor had like 1-8 for 5 balls. So the odds have radically shifted as a result of the games of the weekend. Kerry still 13-8, which feels like a massive price to me. Donegal out 7-2. Galway are now third favourites. Armagh and Mayo are both 12-1. So Mayo have gone from 7-1 last week to 12-1 this week.
Yeah. Well, it's probably, Jack O'Connor afterwards. First thing that we were thinking about going into the league was to stay out of relegation trouble. He's some man. Kerry defending, it probably won't get mentioned too much given what was going on for them at the other end of the pitch, but their defence of the arc, I was only watching the highlights last night, but bloody hell, they were like dogs. They were ravenous around it just to ensure that...
And they had the full defence back as well.
They're But they were just ensuring there was
There's a little bandwagon going on Mayo, is there? Okay. We picked the full team, will we?
Snuff that out.
Yeah.
They were very impressive in it.
Tommy was at this game, so we hear from Sean O'Shea.
Yeah, we have a video of that.
Johnny, could I just ask you about some of the power drives in the game? Like, there was a spell where you got 6 out of play in the first half against the wind, then to start the second half 1-6, and then later on there's a 1-7 out of play. You're really killing teams in those bursts. Like, what are you doing to keep the foot on the pedal?
I suppose that's probably the kick-off battle now, is it? Especially with that wind there in the second half, if you can kill the ball, like turnovers and dropping a short, a killer. If you can kill the ball, you get a chance to press the next kick out, and if you can win that, then again you can have a go at it. We probably don't even notice it at times on the field that you're going through those spells. Like, they probably rattled off maybe 7 points in the first half, and in the second half they got 2 2-pointers in a row as well. So I think that's the game at the moment. It's big swings either way, so trying to control that and trying to balance it, and when you have it, trying to nail home the advantage, and then when you're under pressure, trying to, I suppose, stem the tide a bit.
Tommy talking about the power drive there. Is that a Simpsons reference? You have selected power drive. No one getting this? It's
no.
There's a golf game in the Simpsons that they play.
Okay.
You have selected power drive, and you're on the green, and you take the driver.
Okay.
Instead of actually just putting it, it goes into the parking lot.
No.
Pearls before swine. I'm sure somebody in the comments got it.
Sure, plenty of people got it. Kerry far and away.
If you're tidy in possession, you'll get chances against them, said Clifford afterwards. Like,
if you're tidy in possession,
you'll get chances against Mayo.
Mayo, okay.
Like, so rare that you'd hear a player like anything that proceeds, you'll get chances against Mayo.
Identified how they beat them, yeah.
Really interesting. But that clip for the off the ground just outside the 40, the ball spills out. Thing of absolute beauty. There's not many of them. We were discussing a pre-show. You were making the fair point of a tree falls in the wood. There's probably been a lot of them in places that we just haven't seen. But
it's first at inter-county level, you would think. Feel like you would have seen that. Like, that would have been clipped up and put on Twitter somewhere if it had happened before.
More than likely, yeah.
I think it was the shape. It was just beautiful. The shape.
Over the black spot.
It was Thomas Ramos' area of the pitch.
What a man Thomas Ramos
like
is.
Like, sweeps it over.
We didn't talk about Ramos is actually... Somebody pushes him out of the way for one of the tries, but he's also shouting at him, you make sure you go in there and put it as close to those posts so it makes it easy for me to kick. And Ollie Chessam swan diving over away from the goals.
Jesus Christ.
What are you doing, Ollie Chessam? What are you doing?
Adrenaline's a funny
Adrenaline's
thing.
A hell of a drug, is it?
It's a funny
thing. Well, he's a second roadar. He wouldn't know where to
listen,
go.
He's a loose forward that's just intercepted a pass in a cup final. Well, not the final for them, but huge game.
But why didn't he just go under the post? He's got a flaky kicker, it turns out. Yeah, they take off.
They switch.
They take kickers, off the kicking duties in the middle of the game. We're like, oh, sorry, pal, but you've actually cost us this game.
Is Marcus Smith the starting England 10 going forward?
No, I don't think so. Don't think so. I think your man is going to fix his kicking. It's like, you know,
it's one of those things.
He'll do that. But he wobbled under pressure against France in the Ollie Chesham. I look great. Look at me. I'm flying through the air, going the wrong direction. Yay.
It's funny when the penalty was awarded at the end. Did you see Thomas Ramos kind of laughing, being like, oh, geez, I'm going to have to kick this now, haven't I? 80 minutes in the legs. Yeah. I do not want to kick a 45-meter penalty.
Equally, once the whistle went, once the arm went out, you're like,
yeah, so, yeah. If anyone,
9-year-old was down, it was 10 o'clock. The 9-year-old was down. Wasn't it 10 o'clock? 9-year-old was down watching it. Obviously, way past his bedtime. The arm went out, and I was like, listen, buddy, you might as well hype it.
Like, well, I don't understand.
This is done from behind the couch.
We can come back to it, obviously, but also the jerseys I saw was being put into the dock there.
I didn't enjoy that.
I got used to it.
The French jersey was very nice. France, they don't care.
It was very nice for wearing out if you were going out for a pint or something like that. It's a nice jersey.
I liked it. And I mean, obviously England
baby blue and
played
white
a very similar colour.
Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. But I do admire the French just being like, I don't care. Adidas have paid us a boatload of money here and we've made a cool ad about it.
Hadn't they not brought in a rule that they would ban all this stuff or whatever the terminology was for people who are colourblind?
But colourblind people would have been able to see the different tones.
I heard a stat about this, or an ad about this, or something. I heard something about this yesterday.
Yeah, well,
they said there was like 1 in 12 men are colourblind and 1 in 200 women.
Oh, okay. The poor man carrying the burden of colourblindness. Why isn't there a day for International Colourblind Men Day?
All right, Andrew Tate.
Did you watch The Manosphere?
I watched episode one.
It's just a documentary.
There's
no episodes in it.
It's the Louis Theroux thing on Netflix.
Yeah, it's just an hour and a half.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I've watched the first one with HS Tiki Taki.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I thought it ended, did it not? I just turned it off. Is it? So it's not, it's just one episode?
Yeah, it's an hour and a half.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was like he was going to pick his way through 10 different influencers.
All right.
I have watched it then, in that case, sorry.
There's some homework for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kerry,
did you have something to say about it?
No, I was just wondering because he brought up Andrew Tate, so I was like, oh, fresh in the mind. Must have watched it.
It was usual Louis Theroux fare. Seems to get pissed off at him after the first day, and then doesn't turn up again.
They're all very stupid, really, aren't they? Like, how could you not? They don't know. They obviously don't know who he is, which is in itself a bit
bizarre. I think
they're
hamming that up though as well, because like it wouldn't take much to find out.
No, there's no research gone in there. Anyway, Kerry in the green.
Wealthy stupid, Dara.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Kerry
in the green.
Green is the greens. We've got the Premier League title race.
It's over. It's straight in the red, right?
So this was your shout, Adrian. This is a red.
That's a good question. It is in the red. It is in the red, yeah. It's done, isn't it? Like, I mean, it's the weekend we'll point back to and say, well, that was the one. Unfortunately.
9-point gap now. Now, City do have a game in hand. But they don't look great at the minute.
So. No. Erling Haaland, 2 goals from play in the last 18 games. Looks like lost at lamb a little bit.
You were expecting them to kick on at some point, Joe, weren't you? You were kind of about them at all.
I thought that there was an opportunity for them to... I think they've signed well in the January transfer window. I did feel like maybe more games in Rodri's legs would help.
Yeah.
Some of those young players are really good, and I just felt like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, the opposite has happened here, but I felt like they were going to make a special, we want to be part of Pep Guardiola's history. But what happens in all professional sports, it seems, the rumour is the coach is leaving. It seems to become fact. And the players are like, well, no, all right, we're done here.
It does look like every time you hear him speak, you're thinking, he looks free, doesn't he? Like he's saying things that you just wouldn't associate with Pep Guardiola. But yeah, and I mean, then you look at Arsenal on the other side, and I was flicking around whatever else was going on at that time. What other game was on? I was flicking around whatever it was, and it was 0-0, and I thought, well, that's pretty much that. And then I opened up my app. Hang on a second. What happened here? In the last 2 minutes, they've scored 2 goals.
And fair play to them. And he does make an attacking substitution. He puts on Downman.
Brilliant goal.
Brilliant goal.
Brilliant goal.
You know.
Pickford is kind of come a little bit for the first one, tip of the fingers, could have been a hero to zero in the split second, and then probably feels like he wants to get up,
yeah,
make amends for the next one. But brilliant, like the little jink around Dewsbury Hall for Downman before. Oh,
so unassuming, like he just, it's so simple looking, but it's brilliant.
16 years and 70 days?
Yeah, it's in the double digits anyway. It's
but way ahead of whoever the second is.
Was it Theo Welcott?
Who's 16 years and a few hundred days.
It's in all the English papers this morning.
16, lads.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's really remarkable.
It's nothing.
It's almost too young to be getting that type of limelight. You know, the league leaders, he's scoring the winning goal. It's like, God, it's a lot of pressure.
Very difficult for him.
It's a lot of pressure.
To, like, just be normal for the next couple of years. But, you know, hopefully that's all all right.
Need to manage that right. Yeah. But the title race, done.
Yeah.
I feel so,
in the books.
Yeah.
More or less. We do have completely nothing to do with the title race. Tottenham. Decent results, you would say, going to Anfield, getting a point in the way that they did as well.
Yeah, fair play. Your man is still there. He's gonna get the Forest game, and
your man.
If he wins or gets a draw in the Forest game, he'll limp on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, his own stock all of a sudden is
a little bit better.
It's on the rise, Dara. It's on the up.
Needs a couple more results, I would say.
They've got a result.
He still has yet to win a game.
I'm not saying it's gone through the roof here, but it was on the floor. He's taken a little step up.
And
his post-match interview, in my eyes,
also taken a step up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Even further.
We have that video if you want to play it here in his post-match.
Yeah, so that's the point I was going to make. Have you shown that you can provide that hope? You don't need a new manager. But listen, do you not think...
It's enough with him. I always tell you what I think.
Yeah. But do you not think sometimes these questions need to be asked and need to be answered? You've got a lot of Spurs fans all around the world, and to say...
Which question need to be answered?
Well, about the future of the club, about who's going to be the manager, about is the team going to stay in the league?
There's not a question for me. I'm the coach. You need to ask me about play, about how we play, how we
do. I have.
And I ask for, you know. So this question you like to, you know, journalists to ask is nothing about, you know, it's a question that doesn't have sense. You know, when you ask the coach about your position, don't have any sense of this. Just to all the coaches doing is telling always the same things, but you always insist. So coach need to ask for something, because he's obliged to come on this press conference. Otherwise, he would like to stay home. You know,
I'm sure.
But you insist always with the almost same questions.
No, but the point being, you can provide the hope, right? That was something you said in an interview on Friday.
I didn't say that.
You said about
what I said.
You said people need hope of a new manager sometimes, and my point is only: have you shown today with the way Tottenham play that you can provide
the
hope?
What do you think? What I will ask for you now? What I will ask for? Do you provide hope? What kind of questions? What I need to tell you now? No.
You can say whatever you like.
Yeah, I say this: what you will tell on my place? Of course. Mm-hmm. So this is the answer you want to hear.
I've got. Okay. You can just say whatever you like.
If we finish or no?
We finished.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a massacre.
He's looking over to one of the press guys. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
I'd love to see the wide shot where he's got his hand on his shoulder the whole time.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
I think that was him being empathetic. I think it was him saying, "I'm taking you to downtown here." And
I think it was a little bit of, "Listen, buddy. You're on your death."
Well, certainly
here.
His words were definitely, his words ripped him apart. And he was absolutely right. Like, managers coming out having to say, am I the right man for the job? What the hell do you expect me to say? Don't keep asking me the same questions. Yes.
He kind of has to ask him once, right?
Well, I don't think after that game. I think that's where Tudor already had the higher ground.
Well, there's probably a way of doing it after that game where it's like, do you feel vindicated somehow now?
Well, that might have been a better question.
You know, you just got hammered out there. You're toast, aren't you, buddy? Which is the tone of it, even though the facts were that they just got an away point at Anfield, which started the season, or even, you know, when they hired him, they're like, if you can get a point at Anfield, you're probably going to be okay. Yeah.
I loved how
it turned out Liverpool are shit, which...
Yeah, well, there is that too. I loved how he just did the thing that nobody else does. He just goes, what are you asking? Don't keep asking me this question. Like, he didn't engage.
Quite calmly, you know, even deadpan. Though I think there's rage there.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there's
suppressed
rage. You think
there was a squeeze? Was there a squeeze with the arm, or was it just a gentle tap?
I wonder,
That's kind of the question. But I was critical of him up to this point, I must say, because I felt he had an inability to communicate around the pressure of the thing, and he wouldn't feel the question about the pressure. But this was different.
Yeah. So if he was here, he'd be in the green, but he's not. So title race in the red. And we've one more there. We'll just place Troy Parrott on the score sheet again. That assist, I presume people have seen it. He's in great form, which is obviously great to see going into...
10 days away.
10 days away.
Yeah, I think it's time now to take him out of that.
Yeah, screw you, AZ.
Yeah.
Time for sorry, I just have
make something
shiver
up.
Down my spine that I can't play this weekend.
I really need to pick up the phone there, yeah. The lads are ready to go now for next slot, so...
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Viagra Connect 50mg film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150mg tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.